Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
But yeah. welcome into Falcoholic Live, guys. Thanks for joining us tonight. I've ruined the suspense, obviously, as Kevin Knight having, of course, Eric Robinson joining us tonight. He is at underscore Eric underscore Robinson. Eric, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. Yeah, we're happy to have you here. And it's fun. People can see, we don't usually do the show before the show or anything like that on here. There's usually some gentle pleasantries, some like minor preparation. This is like all the prep we do for the show, by the way. It's like, connect 2 minutes before, say like, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. How are you? Nope. Okay. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Cool. Yeah. We do it live as they say on the Bill O'Reilly show, but, Eric, welcome back. Great to have you. I know we almost had you last week, but I sort of thought that the Super Bowl would just consume everything at ESPN. Seems like that was the case, but happy to have you this week.
Yeah, glad to be on this week. Got the Super Bowl out of the way. Now it's time to turn the chapter to the draft, which is everybody's favorite time of the year. Most people, at least you and I, our favorite time of the year, the draft. So it should be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good. Good content always here. We've always been a big draft show. Free agency, obviously, I guess even closer than the draft. I mean, it's kind of like combine, free agency, then the draft. But it's a busy time of year. Very busy.
Well, remember, last year was kind of sort of unique to us, too, because that was the first time in forever that we actually had money to spend for free agency. So remember, previous years, we would kind of gloss over free agency shows. We're like, we may get one or two guys, but nothing to go in depth with.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Like it was a very boring free agency. It's like, oh, we'll sign a couple. Yeah. Kadarryl Hodge will be our crowning achievement. Right. No offense, Kadarryl Hodge, but yeah.
Yeah. Right. But so now, in the last couple of years, we can put something together. Now we can strategize a little bit.
Yeah, we got more to talk about. That's for sure. And yeah, guys, we'll talk a bit with Eric. Get his take, of course, on the new coaching staff. His thoughts on the quarterback position, because that's the biggest need. We did talk about it a lot last week, but. Definitely wanted to get Eric's take on that and then sort of talk about the other big needs that the Falcons have. I'm sure you guys can think of a few that we're going to get to tonight for sure. But yeah, talk a little free agency, talk a little draft, just see where the night takes us. Talk a little about these new coordinators we got coming in. I know Eric had a chance to watch the pressers. Before we dive in real quick, let me bring you guys a quick word from tonight's sponsor, betonline.ag. Folks, the Super Bowl is over. But BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops, throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile devices. So what are you waiting for, guys? Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. And since I don't know anything about basketball, I can't give you guys any bad betting advice at this stage. So, that time has passed. you guys any bad ones or good ones?
Any bad betting advice or good betting advice?
Well, we think it's good betting advice, right? But
man, if I could think of a good betting advice at this point, man, you know what? I'll take the over on a lot of matchups when it comes to a guy like Jalen Brunson, who's looking great. Donovan Mitchell's playing great right now around the league. I think the Cavs have won 17 of the last 19. So I would definitely look into stuff like that. Those two things. Anthony Edwards as well is another guy that I'm looking at that can really put some money in your pocket with the way he's been playing as of late. So Yeah, keep an eye on those three guys right there.
Okay, there you go. There, you got it from the guy himself, because like I said, I'm a basketball neophyte, so appreciate Eric Pitch hitting on that one. But guys, make sure to check out Bet Online. The game starts here. All right, so let's dive in. Eric, first of all, we last had you on kind of like in the lead up to the coaching hire. Now that Raheem has been hired, first of all, I need to know, are you team Heem or team Ra? You know, because there's two warring factions right now with regards to that.
Is Ra. Call him, okay. Is Ra. Better name.
I agree. I like Ra better. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone else calls him that. You know, hiring Raheem Morris, man, you know, it feels like this is a full circle moment, honestly, because, you know, we saw him plenty. You know, he spent 6 years in Atlanta prior to being DC for the Rams. And outside of his time with Tampa, you know, that was the longest he spent with a particular organization at the NFL level. And this was the guy that during those 6 years, he worked on both sides of the ball. And a lot of people don't give him credit, but that 2016 Super Bowl run, he was the passing game coordinator for that. He wasn't the primary play caller. Everybody knows that fell to Kyle Shanahan, but being a passing game coordinator on that particular team with that many, if you look back, that many faces that was on that staff, that was a pretty important role for him. And it ended up resulting in an MVP year for Matt Ryan. Bringing in a guy like Raheem Morris, man, I'm sure you probably heard this before. I can't recall any other time where a head coach got hired and there has been just massive positivity behind his hiring. I haven't seen one bad thing said from current players, former coaches, former GMs, media folks. They all are in favor of this hire here. And it's different because some hires you look at, we're in a stage right now, the NFL, where what's the trend now for hiring head coaches? It's all about that hot offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Who's that next Shanahan? Who's that next Cliff Kingsbury? Who's that next Sean McVay? And, you know, they went against the grain a little bit by bringing back a guy that they're familiar with that's not necessarily that hot offensive play caller. But I don't know if you can make a case that his job status and his ability to be a head coach at the NFL level rivals any other hot offensive coordinator right now. Like, you look at a guy like Joe Brady, Bobby Slowick from the Texans, Raheem Morris is probably up there in the eyes of a lot of people. And it's also interesting because of the whole Bill Belichick thing.
Yeah.
Now, I'll admit, the first time I heard that news, I was scared as hell, Kevin. I'm not gonna lie.
I remember we talked about it. I was not a Belichick guy. Like, I was very against it. I think you were pretty against it as well.
Yes. Literally the very first time I heard that news, I thought to myself, there's no long term to this hire.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is strictly a 2, maybe 3 year window hire. And I'm like, do we really want to be circling back in 2 years saying, man, who's going to be the next head coach for the Atlanta Falcons? I didn't want that. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
And bringing in a guy like Belichick probably would have done that for this organization. It's interesting how everything played out. And when we came on air, I told you that there was a little tidbit of news to go on with that coaching search. I tell you right now, McKay was the biggest roadblock in that entire process.
With Belichick?
Of course. Yeah. Of course, Arthur Blank is probably not going to come out and put that out there. McKay himself is probably not going to do it. Fontenot is probably not going to do it. But I can tell you right now, just from a little bit that I heard, that was the biggest hurdle because of, I don't want to say friction, but there's just, these are two personalities that are not necessarily on the same wavelength, if you get what I'm saying. And I honestly, at one point in time, I don't know if you felt this way, but at one point in time, I thought Blank was going to win out. I thought Blank was going to say,
yeah. I thought they were going to hire Belichick.
Yeah.
After the second interview, it seemed like it was like it was all full steam ahead. There was rumors that Belichick was reaching out to coordinators to talk about stuff. Like it was everything was lining up, and then it seemed like it stopped. So
when Belichick had that second interview, I can tell you this right now: the feeling around the campus, the ESPN campus, was that it was in the bag, because it didn't feel like a second interview. It felt more like a, here's the job, it's yours if you want it. And it didn't go that route. I got to commend Blank for not, you know, biting into that apple. I know it might have been tempting, but getting a guy like Raheem Morris was a better pivot to me, a better decision. I honestly was Harbaugh from day one. I wanted Harbaugh. That was my guy. I felt like Harbaugh was he's a winner everywhere he goes. Doesn't matter what stop he makes, the guy wins football games. But I can't sit here and frown at Raheem Morris. I think this is a different Raheem Morris than you're getting in Tampa Bay. That whole situation in Tampa, to pull it, you know, cleanly, they shafted him. Okay.
Yeah.
32 years old. That was coming on the heels of the team moving on from Lynch, Sapp, Simeon Rice, other well-known Tampa Bay Bucks. 32 years old. The GM that year as well, Mark Dominic, was 33. First time GM. You had a 32 and a 33-year-old leading that charge in that team that was turning the chapter over from their previous success. He didn't get any help. And that's why he failed. And a lot of people wants to look at that and look at his time in Tampa and kind of sort of judge him off that. And I'm like, this is a completely different Raheem Morris this time around. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, he's learned a lot. And it's funny because you look back at that and you're like, oh, well, I know some people were saying this. It was funny that, like, oh, well, you know, he's an old coach too. It's like, no, Raheem Morris is like 47 years old. Like, he was that young when he got his first opportunity. Yeah. He was like, I think 33 or something
32.
Like that. So
32 years.
Yeah. One of the youngest coaches in NFL history. So it's been a long time since then. He's grown a lot. He's been on both sides of the ball. And you know, that matters. I think a lot of guys, it doesn't come together the first time, and we'll get to see, obviously, with Dan Quinn getting another chance here, maybe second time's the charm for him in Washington. You know, we'll see how these guys develop, but you know, I think they chose Raheem because they feel like he was prepared and he was the best candidate. And I know, you know, Noah E asked, you know, why didn't they hire him after being the interim if they were so impressed with him? And the answer is they couldn't. Like, there was no way they could do that. Like, you know, PR would not work. Like, I mean, Raheem, I think, worked some minor miracles on that 2020 team to get them 4 wins. But, like, you're not going to be able to hire an interim coach coming off that year. They needed to turn their page on that whole regime. But this is a different time. Like, he's gone somewhere. He's won Super Bowls as the defensive coordinator with Los Angeles. Like, if they wanted to bring him back, now was the time. There's been enough separation from the Quinn regime. And Raheem is not Quinn. You know, like, he was involved in that regime, but he's not Quinn. He wasn't running the show.
Right.
He is now. And again, like you said, everyone is fans were sort of mixed on it. And I sort of get it, you know, and partially I probably had something to do with that, you know, hyping everyone up for Bobby Slowick or what have you. But it's a good hire. I think that the team that gets like the sexiest hire or the flashiest hire rarely ends up being the best hire from the cycle. It's just sort of how it goes. Like, the same with the team that wins free agency every year. It rarely works out.
Correct.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you a question. Now, when it came to guys like Johnson, Ben Johnson, Slowick, and things of that nature, even Brian Callahan to an extent. Again, I know the trend now is to hire the hot, sexy, young offensive coordinator. Was there not a concern with you that with guys like Slowick, 1 year as a play caller?
Yeah.
Callahan, listed as an OC, but everyone knows what the deal was over there in Cincy, and he ain't calling plays.
Right.
Same thing with Ben Johnson. Like, what, Ben has had, what,
two years now?
Yeah. 2 seasons as a play caller? Yep. Was there a concern from you, like, are we sure we're ready to hand over the keys to the franchise to guys that call plays for 1 year, essentially, and say, right, hey. Was there any concern with you whatsoever with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a concern, right? You never really know. That's just how this goes, right? It's like, if you want that guy, you kind of just have to jump on him. You know, I know with Slowick, it was the belief in the Shanahan tree, which has been wildly successful pretty much everywhere. So that, you know, that was sort of why I leaned there. I'm really surprised that neither one of them took jobs. I think the job sort of didn't materialize and they, you know, basically were like, we're not interested in Washington. which, you know, kind of hilarious how Washington's handling that rejection from Ben Johnson. But
I can tell you one thing. That really put a cramp in everything that they were doing.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty cool.
Behind the scenes, they were holding out for Ben.
Yeah.
They were waiting for Ben. That was the number one guy. That's who they wanted. They had the eyes set on that. They took interviews here and there. But if you kind of sort of look from afar, their interview, you know, numbers, it was not as high as other teams. It felt more like, hey, let's just interview him just to say we interviewed him. But it really felt like Ben was their guy. And not only did Ben say no, but Ben said no when they were on the way to offer him the job. They were in the air to offer him the job. Yeah. Man, that put a cramp in their style, because I felt like at that point they had to go to the drawing board. They were already behind the eight ball, in my opinion, when it came to a guy like Mike McDonald. They were behind the eight ball, in my opinion, when it came to Raheem Morris. So literally, if it came down to just Dan Quinn and else, very little else outside of that.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like they just sort of, you know, I don't know what went wrong there. But it was weird, and their sort of hostility afterwards also seems weird. But you definitely get the thought that not everything is all smooth sailing over there in Washington, even though, you know, I don't think that it's as bad as it used to be, certainly.
No, it's not Snyder bad. Whatsoever. But
exactly. But maybe not as smooth sailing as some fans are hoping yet. But again, it's a new ownership group. It's going to take time. I mean, look at what's happened in Carolina. That's been more or less a disaster so far. So it takes time for these new owners to settle in. It does. So
that was another coaching search that I looked at with just like nobody wanted. I think very few people wanted that job.
Yeah.
I think they had no choice but to take Canales. That's what it felt like. They couldn't get anybody. They didn't reach out to Bill, and it was good for them because they wouldn't have got their feelings hurt if they did. I don't think Bill would have been interested in that. I felt like their situation, it would have been better handled by a Vrabel or veteran, a guy that's been a veteran, you know, a head coach before, instead of giving that to Canales, another guy that called plays for 1 year. And now he's coming into a situation where you ain't got no first round pick. You have very little money.
Yep.
And your best player is up for free agency.
Yeah.
Good luck.
It's tough. Tough spots. tough spots there. Yeah. No one to blame but themselves. But
yeah.
It's interesting, certainly, what happened there. But I do like the Raheem Morris hire. I think it's a good one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, the other side of it is of course the quarterback position and what the Falcons do there, because that's the next biggest question, right? And part of the press conference today had to do with, you know, Zach Robinson coming in on an offensive coordinator, and it seems like according to his conference he's open basically to any option. You know, I know some people thought coming from the McVay tree it would be a pocket passer only sort of deal. You know, Robinson himself was a dual threat quarterback in college. So I was trying to caution people not to be so sure that he was just going to completely copy McVay's offense in every way. I think they're going to be more open to other options, whether that's perhaps Justin Fields, whether that's Jaden Daniels or so on. But, you know, there's a lot of options on the table. And it you know, given the way the draft ended up falling, getting into the top three for a quarterback seems pretty tough to manage. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on dealing with the most important remaining question, which is of course the quarterback position this offseason.
I can assure that Desmond Ridder is not going to be the starting quarterback.
They can't do that. Yeah. I mean, even if he like blew up training camp and was awesome, they can't do it because it just PR reasons they can't. But
I can assure you of that.
Yeah.
There's going to be a new face under center next year. You know, it it's interesting because that offense, you look in, I definitely did some study on that Rams offensive philosophy and things of that nature. And you know, it's easy to look at that philosophy, that scheme, and say, yeah, you need someone that's Stafford-like. But that's not necessarily required from that quarterback position. A lot of it is predicated off the receivers and the blocking scheme compared to having a particular type of quarterback. I'm not saying you can put anybody back there.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that you don't need that. That offense is going to need, it's going to need someone with an arm. That's for sure. Yeah. But he doesn't have to have the Mahomes type passing style to make it work. Yes. And I think what's interesting about this particular scheme is, and I'm interested in seeing how it plays out as well. Correct me if I'm wrong. I can't recall watching this scheme being ran with a dual threat type.
No, I don't think it has. Yeah.
And I'm curious to know, like, what would that look like? Would that add a different wrinkle than what you've already seen? Just think about what Stafford has done with that scheme, and think about if Stafford had the ability to run, to tuck it and run. Like, imagine how difficult that offense would be to cover, even with that aspect. So I guys like Justin Fields come to surface. Jaden Daniels is another guy that comes to mind as well. Go back and the one thing, this is, you know, since I've been at the four letter listening to pressers and things of that nature, man, you have no choice but to truly like listen and break things down. Go back to what Raheem Morris said in his first presser. What is the very first thing he talked about when it came to the quarterback position? A quick processor, an elite processor. That's the very, he didn't say anything about an arm. He didn't say anything about accuracy. He didn't say anything about athleticism. The very first thing he mentioned when it talked about that quarterback is having elite processing skills. So that opens the door, in my opinion, to guys like Drake May, like Jaden Daniels. Me personally, I would love to see what would happen if they rolled a dice and go after Justin Fields. But I will say, when Morris made that statement, I looked at Justin Fields and said, because he's not, as far as the processing skills, we saw that this past year. He's not there yet.
Yeah.
He's not there yet.
It is a similar, it's more similar. The offense in Los Angeles is much more similar to what he ran at Ohio State. So it's possible that he would be more comfortable coming into this offense than he's been in Chicago, which I think we can all agree that offense is kind of a disaster from a schematic standpoint. So maybe, you know, the going back to a more familiar surroundings in terms of scheme would be beneficial to his processing. But I agree. He's not the type of guy you look at and say, like, oh, this is an elite processor. At the same time, he's like, I think Justin Fields is just now turning 24 or something like that. So it's like, he's got plenty of runway still. I mean, he's younger than Michael Penix and, you know, like Bo Nix at this point still. But I agree. Like, I do like that option because, again, it's a good option that will not cost the draft capital that it would take to get into the top three.
Correct.
And won't necessarily immediately cost the salary it would take to get a Kirk Cousins, a Russell Wilson, you know, a Geno Smith via trade or whatever. So it's kind of in the middle of those.
It's cheaper all around.
Yeah. You know, he's not as proven as a Kirk Cousins, but doesn't require the financial investment. And he's not as cheap as a top three rookie, but who knows if you're even going to be able to get up there for that. And I know, you know, George Costanza was saying he would consider trading, you know, three firsts plus, you know, multiple thirds to get up to number one. I just don't think Chicago's, I mean, that's a strong offer, George. I just don't think Chicago's going to take it. I think they're taking Caleb Williams without question. But I agree with what George is saying, that it doesn't matter what we do if we don't get a quarterback, because they have to.
He's right. But I do think getting a guy like Fields would definitely be a lot more affordable. It may cost a pick. It may cost two. I think you can get away by sending a 2024 second and a 2025 third and calling it a day. And again, that's much cheaper. That way you're still able to stay at eight and you're still able to get a difference maker at quarterback. So
I think it's going to cost a second and some other pick. you know, and depending on the other bidders, that's what'll determine that. But at this point, yeah, it's going to be something like that. I agree. There's been some interesting stuff that happened over the last week in terms of like the quarterbacks, the rookie quarterbacks. I'm curious what your thoughts are on like people claiming that maybe Drake May's falling behind Jaden Daniels, which I love Jaden Daniels, but that personally is kind of rich for me. I know Lance Zierlein had Jaden Daniels going 2 and Drake May actually falling to 5 where the Falcons traded up to get him. And first of all, let me say, yes, absolutely, I would do that. I would trade up to 4. I wouldn't even wait until 5. I would be like, no, Arizona, take my money. I'm getting Drake May. But it does seem like there's, you know, Lance Zierlein, very connected draft analyst. It does seem like there's something to the fact that maybe Drake May is kind of cooling, which I personally don't get because to me he seems like the type of guy the NFL typically loves. But he isn't as flashy as Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels, so maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But, you know, if one of these quarterbacks were to fall to 4, would you basically do whatever it took to get up there and then get him?
Well, let me start off by saying this. These are the three, never mind. I'm about to put myself out
there. What the hot take was coming? It was coming.
I was going to say these are the three best players in the draft, and then Marvin Harrison just popped in my mind. I find Marvin Harrison is looking at me like, really, you're going to say that? So if these guys were to go 1, 2, and 3 in a draft, I would completely understand. Completely understand. These are, to me, these are three franchise cornerstones that you would build everything around. It's just a matter of what style you like. I know a lot are falling in love with Jaden Daniels. And if Jaden Daniels just so happened to be the Falcons' their pick of choice, I will not have no issue with it whatsoever. But there's, man, it's something about Drake. And being an ACC guy and watching him the last couple of years, the kid's got moxie, man. He is a gamer. There's not a moment, there's not a game too big for him. He's not afraid of the moment. And for such a young kid, he's only 21. He's only started for 2 years. But there's something about him when it comes to just having that it factor. And it's honestly is I don't know. I wouldn't sit here and say it's better than what Jaden brings to the table, or even better than what Caleb brings to the table. Different. But I'm looking at this kid, and I've had some frowns when I said this. If I had to throw out a comp for Drake May, my comp is Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I've heard that. I like it. I think it's, you know, obviously tall shoe, like, you know, big shoes to fill there with that one.
But yeah,
I can kind of see it. Like you.
Yeah. There's some Joe Burrow to his skill set, where it's just it's something about Burrow. Burrow doesn't have the biggest arm. You know, he's not the most accurate. He's not the most athletic. But when it's time to get a play, when it's time to make a drive, when it's time to win a game, every moment is the same to him. It doesn't matter if it's week 3 or if it's the AFC Championship game with a chance to go to Super Bowl. It doesn't matter. And I see the same thing about Drake. If either one of these guys fall to 4, oh, my God. Yes, I'm on the phone with Arizona right now. And I'm like, what the hell do you need?
Yeah.
What do you
exactly.
need?
What is it going to take?
What is it going to take? Because that's the first call I would make if I have to trade up Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I just can't imagine. I feel like New England is either going to take a quarterback or take Marvin Harrison. I don't really see them trading down from that spot. I mean, I guess they could. They're searching for a huge haul, but
I feel they may go to veteran route. Because of, you know, this has been a first year under Gerard Mayo, kind of sort of, to me, I feel like having that, I would not be surprised if Russell Wilson comes into play there. A guy, you know, with his pedigree that you can kind of sort of lean on to get things started. And if you look at that locker, that's a veteran-led locker room. If you look, you know, on both sides of the ball, some of the better players are guys who have been in the league for a minute. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go that route. Washington is for sure is going to get a quarterback.
I mean, I think that's the easiest one to predict of any in the draft. It's going to be whoever doesn't go 1.
But yeah,
I guess there is maybe some intrigue to see. Maybe that's Jaden Daniels. Maybe it's, you know, Drake May. I don't know. I mean, I thought I was high on Jaden Daniels until I saw Zerline put Daniels at 2 over Drake.
No, bro.
I don't think I could do that. As much as I love Daniels, honestly.
The moment he hoisted that Heisman, he solidified himself as a top 5 pick.
Oh, he's like, definitely going to. I did a mock draft in like November during the bye week, and I had the Falcons taking Jaden Daniels at 8, and I was like, I'm not even sure he's going to be here. And all the comments were, he's going in the second. This is too early. I'm like, no. Listen to me. Look at Jaden Daniels, and if you couldn't tell that man was going to be a top 10 pick in November, you don't know this game. Like, no offense to anyone, but I've been covering the draft too long.
He's too damn good. He's too damn good. He won the Heisman for a reason, man.
Yeah. So it was coming, but
I can't see him falling 8.
No.
I really
the one I know everyone's talking about Nixon Penix, but from what I have heard and what I heard at the Senior Bowl as well, quarterback 4 is gonna be JJ McCarthy. And it seems like the NFL is ridiculously high on him. And yeah. I was like very anti JJ McCarthy, but I'm trying to be like, okay, maybe I should give it a second look. Maybe I should look at him, you know. Should I? Like, should I give him another look? What do you think?
Kevin, no, please. No?
Okay. Look, I don't know. I'm just asking questions, you know.
I want to be reasonable, but I can't help but keep my fan hat on when I say this. For me, it's either those top 3 or Fields. For me, that's it.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones I'm looking at. Like, JJ's solid.
It's the tools with JJ.
He has the tools, but he's going to be a first round pick. Now, to be quite honest with you, does his skill set say first round pick? No. But the fact that he plays quarterback, he played quarterback at Michigan, and he just won a national championship this year, that's enough for him to have his draft status elevated, in my opinion.
He's got a cannon, and he looks like a quarterback.
I'll put it to you. If the Arthur Smith scheme was still here, I would say, okay, I can see why you would go that route. Yeah. I would prefer more of a trade down.
Oh, yeah.
But I can see what? In this scheme, I can't.
I mean, I agree. For the record, I agree. I think that's way too early. But allegedly, he's going to be QB4, and some teams are obsessed with him.
What am I missing when I'm watching him?
I guess teams are viewing him like a Josh Allen or something. And like, I was low on Josh Allen, but like Josh Allen, like physically, was way more impressive. Like, and I still was lower on Josh Allen.
I don't see that arm talent.
I don't see it either. I mean, people say he's an elite processor, but he just didn't get a chance to show it at Michigan because the offense was so limited. But I mean, I don't know how I'm supposed to know he's an elite processor if I can't see it on tape, you know? But maybe the teams, if they get to talk to him or whatever, he's like a genius or something. I don't know, but it's a weird one, but I was curious if you'd heard anything about that buzz because
the buzz is true. The buzz is legitimate. He's probably going to be a first round quarterback. He's probably going to be the fourth quarterback off the board. I would not be surprised. I've seen him go as high as what? 11?
Yeah.
Was it the Raiders?
I think it's the Vikings at
11? No, the Vikings are at 11. It's 12 for the Raiders.
I can see that for sure.
I've seen him go to the Broncos right there at what? I think the Broncos are at 13.
Yep. Sean Payton's definitely taking a quarterback. They're kicking Russell Wilson.
They're taking a quarterback. They're taking a quarterback. Yeah. Yes. And McCarthy probably will be a first rounder. I just don't see that arm talent. I see a diet Kirk Cousins, and I'm like, even with that, it's like, would you take Kirk in the first round?
I mean, if people knew how good he was, like at the time, I think yes, they would have taken him in the first round. But it also took him a decent amount of time to get to where he is. So.
Kirk, this was not Kirk when he first came out. It's ironic that we're seeing the best of Kirk in his 30s. Compared to his later 20s, it's just, I don't know. He doesn't move the needle for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, totally understand. Do you like Knicks or Penix at all? Or are you just sort of like, if it's not top 3 or or Fields, then you're sort of punting. Or
I think Knicks gets a lot of flack, and he shouldn't, because I think a lot of people are still thinking about him at Auburn, and I think this is a completely different quarterback now. He's matured compared to then. Now, would I put a first round pick on him? Absolutely not. I wouldn't. Yeah. But I don't think he's Auburn Bo Nix. No. Michael Penix, a lot of people are leaning on his health, his injury history. But the one thing that I keep looking at as well, since his last torn ACL, he's played his best football. Yeah. His last two seasons are his best. He hasn't had that major injury since then. So I can understand if it was a situation where he's been injured while at Washington, but he hasn't. So he had that major knee injury, and then he's played the best football of his career 2 years after that. So I don't know if I would want to use his medical red flags as something to say, I don't want this kid. But I do feel the league is a little lower on him than a lot of people think.
Yeah, yeah. We know how cautious the team is, or like the league in general is with the medical stuff. And, you know, the questions about how he handles pressure. I mean, you know, they're legitimate. So, that is another interesting one. But yeah, I mean, I think you and I are on the same page that my first plan would be to see if we can win the Justin Fields sweepstakes. And if we can, great. And if not, you're going to have to try your luck in the draft and probably bring in some sort of stopgap veteran just in case. Yep. But, I don't know. I don't love it, but
you know, I don't love it either. Yeah. I don't love it. It definitely would be ideal to go into the draft with that already taken care of. Like, we got our guy, we're good. Yeah. It would be ideal, because you're rolling a dice on draft night. As much as people want to say trade up, it's not as easy as you think. And they can find themselves in a situation where they can't trade up. And then now you're at eight, Fields is elsewhere, the top three quarterbacks are gone. And they ain't like, well, damn, where are we now? What do we do now? So,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, George, I know you're not a big fan of Fields. And there are certainly questions with Fields. I mean, nothing that you're saying is incorrect.
How much credit does he get for not he didn't have a DJ Moore his entire time there, guys? Like, he didn't get a DJ Moore until year three.
It's complicated to evaluate, right? Because the offense wasn't good. He finally got a receiver this year. I know some people are scared about the injuries. Some people are scared about all the sacks he's taken, you know, his ability to read the field. But we know, like, look at what happened to the Falcons offense this year. Like, the scheme was terrible and it brought the whole thing down. So if we're saying, oh, this offense could be good with a better scheme, you know, that we could say the same thing about Fields. It's complicated. But the reason he's going to cost a second, George, is because that's the price. Like, someone is going to pay that. Like, there are multiple teams interested. So
if you look at his situation in Chicago, you're talking about, you know, the injuries and all that type of stuff. I'm like, well, we already knew in our mind that for 2 years he's dealing with one of the worst offensive lines in the league, right? Like, we already knew that.
Yeah.
So that should play a part. I mean, in year two, they were telling him to utilize Darnell Mooney as his wide receiver one. And I don't know how many quarterbacks were going to be, you know, prosperous in that situation. A lot of guys were going to fail. And like you mentioned, he didn't get a legitimate wide receiver one until year three. And then, wow, see what happens when he gets a wide receiver one. It's a different passer.
He had more touchdowns than Ritter.
Right.
And fewer interceptions.
Right. So it's like, upgrade his talent and see what happens. So it's, yeah. I don't,
it's I can't bash like, No, I mean, I, like you and I are both, I mean, I, and again, I had fully admit, I was high on Fields coming out. I'm high on him now. Like, my opinion on Fields hasn't changed that much. I blame the Bears. But if you are not high on Fields and you think that he was always a questionable quarterback prospect, then you probably still feel that he is. And I don't blame you. Like, you know, the honest answer is that we don't really know how much of it was Chicago's fault versus Fields' fault. I guarantee it wasn't 100% Fields' fault, and it wasn't 100% Chicago's fault. But, you know, Joe in the chat is, look, what Fields did at Ohio State matches what the Rams offense is. And if that's the offense the Falcons are going to run, I think it will unquestionably be a better fit in Atlanta than it was for him in Chicago. So we will at least have that. How much does that translate? That's a great question. Is he going to end up being worth these picks and the money that we're probably going to have to pay on the fifth year option? Because I don't really see any situation where you trade for him and you don't pick up the fifth year option. I think it's kind of, if you're going to trade the second for him, you're going to pick up the fifth year option. It's just I don't know why you wouldn't. It doesn't make any sense. So, you know, I am interested to see what happens there. Someone's going to trade a second and probably another pick for him. Maybe it's the Falcons. There's been rumors the Steelers are interested too. And the honest answer is there's no perfect situation. Unless you were picking in the top three, there's no great situation. You're going to have to compromise somewhere. Either you're going to have to pay a bunch of money, or you're going to have to get a stopgap veteran that's going to be a much lower ceiling than Fields. Like, the thing with Fields that I hone in on is that there is a chance that he is your long-term answer. Whereas if you go for Gardner Minshew for a couple years, or, you know, whatever it is that you might have to do if you miss out on him and you can't get up in the draft, that's not going to be an option. There's no chance that works out. It's a stopgap for a few years. And as we saw with the Colts, like, you could make the playoffs with Gardner Minshew or close to it, but are you really going to get anywhere with that? No, not mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a gamble, obviously. No, everything in football is a gamble. Free agency, the draft. Anyone that tells you that they're sure about a prospect is lying. Like, even sure things aren't sure things because they could get hurt. You know, right. I mean, it happens. It doesn't mean that they were a bust. It just means they got hurt. I mean, it's always a gamble. You're just looking for the best bet you can make. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Prize Picks, Bet Online, you know, you guys, like, this is sounding like a great ad read here, like talking about making bets, but, you know, well, you guys hit me up for some fresh copy on that one. But, I think that it's the best of the gambles. And I think that's why I like it. I think that's why you like it too. So, but if you don't like it, I don't blame you, because again, it's far from a sure thing. That's for sure. And Keith Simmons saying the Bears will not trade within conference. I don't think they're going to be that picky. Like, if
he said what?
He was saying the Bears won't trade him within the conference. And I don't think that's correct. Like, I don't think they'll trade him in the division, but like, if the Bears were that afraid of Justin Fields, they would not trade him at all. They would just make him their starter. Like, that they were not willing to trade him in the NFC. Like, right. I don't think they're going to be that picky. I don't think they can be.
I'm trying to think, what are the Steelers outside of
Steelers is the only other one I've seen.
And, I mean, I really don't see any, man, I really don't see any other teams honestly picking up the phone and making that call outside of those two teams.
Yeah, because I feel like Sean Payton and the Broncos want a rookie.
No, yeah, they want to get their own guy.
And I think the Vikings are just going to re-sign Cousins.
Raiders, that's
interesting. Yeah, maybe the Raiders.
I would not be surprised if the Vikings, and it's funny because I said this a couple months ago and it's starting to come to fruition now, would not be surprised if the Vikings are a team that somehow, some way find their way into the top five. Yep. To go get a quarterback. Because you're dealing with a situation, Kirk Cousins is there coming off a year that he did, but he's 36, okay? And he's 36 coming off an Achilles injury. No one knows everyone wants to sit here and look at what happened with Aaron Rodgers. Well, we still don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to look like post-injury. Just because he's out there throwing the football, yeah, and he ain't moving, he ain't doing
ready to play. Yeah, that was all hard.
He's not avoiding edge rushers. So we still don't know. Even going into week one next year, we're still not going to know what Aaron Rodgers is truly going to look like coming off this injury. Same thing can be for Kirk. I don't know what Kirk is. And you got to keep in mind also, Kirk's injury happened later in the season than Rodgers. So yeah. Kirk is probably not going to be available the first month of the year. He may not get his first start until sometime in October. And again, he's 36 coming off that. I don't know how that's going to look. I don't know if I really want to roll that dice.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, that's why I'm not interested. That's why, yeah, I think he ultimately just goes back to Minnesota, because I think Minnesota is going to find it really difficult to get into the top five, just like anyone would. You know,
they may.
The reason that the Falcons have a chance is because a team like the Cardinals may consider going down to eight, because they could still get one of the top tackles, yeah, or edge rushers, right, or whatever, you know, right, wide receivers, whatever it is. But if they go down to 11, it's very different what you're looking at. You're probably looking at, you know, Alt and Fashanu and all three of the top receivers all being off the board. So if you go down to eight, Neighbors or Odunze, one of Joe Alt or Fashanu are probably still there. So like that's why the Falcons have an advantage. I think with the Vikings, they're going to have a harder time convincing one of those teams. But
I just feel with the Vikings in their situation, because Justin Jefferson is going to have to get his money at some point.
Yeah.
Soon. So if you're able, given the fact that you have a DC and Brian Flores that came in and worked with the talent that he worked with and turned that into a very respectable defense. So there's not much concern you may have on that side of the ball. Given the fact that now you will have an opportunity to trade up in the draft and go much cheaper than what Kirk Cousins is going to warrant, and then build your core around, hypothetically, Jaden Daniels, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson. Yeah. Man, does that sound intriguing?
It does. So it's they're one to watch for sure. I mean, it's definitely been one rumored. No question. So that's definitely one of the interesting ones. Real quick, we got Michael Scott with the $10. Thanks, Michael. He says, appreciate the love for my hometown and alma mater, Marshall University, getting into the recent mock draft. That's right. Yeah, I took Driscoll, the tackle from Marshall in the sixth round. He reminds me of Spencer Brown, honestly. I think he's someone. I think he'll probably go earlier than the sixth round when after the combine. But he's definitely intriguing. And of course, happy to shout out the herd. And we got Brandon with the $2 says, thoughts on grabbing a veteran quarterback for a couple of years, then trading down in this draft for more picks? I mean, they could definitely trade down. I think that's an option. But, you know, it's dicey because this fan base is starving for a playoff run. So I think they're probably more likely to be aggressive than they are to build. So I think trading down is never a bad idea. Like, I always like trading down, but I think they're less likely to do it this year. But the vet quarterback, they may have to ultimately.
I'm pretty sure you feel the same way. I'm impatient. Okay. Mm-hmm. I need an answer at quarterback now. It's been too long. It's been way too long. And not only too long, but we've gone through all these hoops with the whole Deshaun Watson situation, and then Matt Ryan leaving after that, and then having to lean on Marcus Mariota for a year, and then having to go through this whole Ritter experience. I'm ready for an answer now. I'm really not intrigued by trading down and getting a guy that we hope can be ready in a year or two. I'm ready now.
Yeah.
I'm a little impatient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. And then we got Jason Gaines, the $2 sick. Nice to see Shanahan blow another Super Bowl lead and lose. He's now 0-3 in Super Bowls, 0-2 as the head coach.
Oh, man. I might be the only person in the Falcons fan base that still holds Kyle Shanahan dear to his heart. I still love Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, I'm over it. You know, I'm over it. But, yeah.
He still gets a lot of tomatoes thrown at him from Falcons fans for sure, man. So
yeah,
tough to see that.
No. And George says the good thing about trading for Fields is that you could get someone like Joe Alt at 8, and I wouldn't be against that. But he's not a Fields believer. I understand. I mean,
what if they get Neighbors?
I mean, I like Neighbors. I just don't think they can. Like, I think that the way they've, like, Neighbors is worth 8. Like, I have no question. Like, Neighbors, Odunze, they're both worth 8. No question. And I don't think they would be bad picks. I just think they can't because of the last 3 drafts. And that's never a good reason to make a pick. But, like, I feel like they can't. The same way that they can't start Ritter. Like, even if Ritter just, like, blew everyone away or something, they still can't do it. So
I was going to piggyback off your PR take from earlier. Like, it's not going to be a good look. So
it's going to be an edge rusher is what it's going to be. They're probably going to have their pick of all of them. And I'm still team Jared Verse all day. I haven't changed my mind from last year. I'm still team Jared Verse.
I prefer Verse over Turner for sure.
Me too.
Yes.
And Turner has all the tools in the world, but I've played this game before. I'm never again am I taking the flashy guy over the one that I know is going to get me 10 sacks. Like,
that's, I know for sure. Yep. I'm looking at him the same way I looked at Brian Burns coming out that year. We're like, yo, this guy, he has it. He's ready. And there's with Turner, everybody loves to say, hey, that's another Vic Beasley. And I'm like, Turner in the run defense. Turner in run defense scares me.
Yeah, he's much more of a project right now. Like, his athleticism is scary good. I mean, no question. Like, yeah. Turner looks amazing. He's got all the traits. But, like, Verse is a very good athlete, and he's got better size, and he's got 3 years of production. So, like, I can't, you can't convince me to just chase the ceiling over Verse. Like, take the sure thing, or take whatever the closest thing that, and like, Latu as well. Like, when you get guys that are that good at their technique, they're going to be good NFL players. Like, I have no question. Mm-hmm. Now, with Latu, there's a little bit of the medical stuff, and his athleticism is slightly more questionable, which is why I think he's going to be like the second or third edge and not the first one. But mm-hmm. Verse can play in any scheme. He can play 2-point, 3-point. Mm-hmm. There's nothing he can't do. He's a good run defender, very good pass mm-hmm. rusher, advanced mm-hmm. technician, not as good as Latu. Latu is kind of a prodigy of pass rush, I would say, for being a college player. But like, Verse is almost as good. Like, he's close.
You have a comp for Verse?
Man.
You need a little time with that?
I don't know that I have one yet for him. He kind of feels like he's between, like, I feel like he's a little bit thicker than Brian Burns. A little bit more heavy-handed, not as bendy.
Yes.
Obviously with the FSU connection, I know a lot of people bring up Burns, but I feel like he's like closer to I think he's like a little, like a more advanced Montez Sweat that's a little bit more athletic.
Sweat is what, like 6'5", 260-ish?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's about what Verse is. And I think Verse is a little bit more athletic and more advanced than Sweat was coming out. But
what about Hassan Redick?
I think Redick's more athletic, but I think Verse is a lot more polished than Redick was coming out. Redick was very much a project coming out. Mm-hmm. He was an off-ball linebacker for a while.
He was an off-ball guy, yeah.
So, yeah, versus to me, I feel like he's not a tweener, but he's kind of like in between a lot of the prototype guys, where I feel like he checks a lot of the boxes. Like, I feel like he could play 4-3 defensive end or 3-4 outside linebacker without question. Like, he could stand up or 3-point or whatever he wants.
You may not use it as a comp, but would you say his ceiling could be Hassan Redick?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think he could be a better run defender than Redick. I mean, I think he could be a better overall player. And Redick has definitely evolved a lot in terms of his mm-hmm. run defense and stuff. Like, he's not just a designated pass rusher anymore. But why don't we just get them both? You know, trade for Hassan Redick and get Jared Verse.
Well, Philly doesn't want to let him go. And if I'm Philly, bringing in Fangio, that's the one guy I'm keeping. Yeah.
No, I don't think they're actually getting rid of him. But but yes, you know, this is the broader conversation of like the Falcons' priorities. An edge rusher behind quarterback is definitely one of the top three. I think the other one would be receiver, but.
How long have we been talking about this, Kevin?
God, it's like every year. Just repeat it. Yeah.
Finding the edge rusher, like, this is just wash, rinse, repeat. Like, God damn, we do this every year.
How hard would you go for Danielle Hunter? Because to me, that's the guy I would just empty the bank for if he gets free of Minnesota. Because I know he's like 30, you know, but he was amazing last year still. Like, and they just so desperately need that entrenched number one. Just like, if they got Hunter and then drafted Jared Verse at 8, like, I mean.
I'll say this. When it comes to that particular position, given what we expect them to have in free agency, because we pretty much project them to have within the ballpark of, what, 55, 60 million after they make the necessary cuts. Right now, they're in the 30s.
Yeah,
yeah. Right now they're in the 30s, but if they make the necessary cuts, they can be in the 50s in terms of money. I'll be honest right now, man. Here's my plan. I'm going to get Justin. And I'm giving Brian Burns whatever the hell he wants.
if he's my top choice. Like, he'll be the number one edge free agent if he leaves Carolina. No question.
Not him, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I'm giving one of those two guys whatever the hell they want.
Yes, if they escape, absolutely.
Yeah, one of those two are my big fish in free agency this offseason. And Danielle Hunter, hell of a year, all pro year, looked amazing in Minnesota. But you mentioned the age is there. So you kind of sort of have to question, what type of deal would you even give Hunter? Because you're going to have to give him a new deal.
Right. I mean, you're gonna have to give him a big one. I mean, no question. But
But is it gonna be a long term thing? Is it gonna be a 3 year? Is it gonna be kind of sort of similar to what Buffalo gave Von Miller, where you got that 5 year deal where most of it's guaranteed, and now Buffalo is looking at that deal and saying, "Oh damn, what do we do?"
Yeah. Hey, no, I mean, it's a great question. Yeah. It. Yeah. I think they need to get something on the edge. Certainly. And I think, you know, a guy like Hunter definitely can play a variety of spots. You know, I think he can stand up. He's definitely more of a hand in the dirt rusher, but I think he's fine standing up too. And, you know, the 3-4, a lot of times one of your guys is going to put his hand in the dirt anyway. But
to answer your question, I will go after Daniil, but that's after I've already pursued Burns and Allen.
Yeah, I just don't think those guys are leaving. That's the only reason I skip past them. Really? Yeah, I think Josh Allen has 0% chance of leaving Jacksonville, but Burns maybe.
I think Burns is gone.
I think he wants to stay in Carolina, but
I don't think he wants to stay there either. I think he's gone. And when it comes to Allen, man, they're going to have some questions as well, because you still got to give Calvin an extension. Mm-hmm. If that's your plan to keep him, and I think ultimately they're going to want to keep him.
We need them to keep him. Yeah.
We need him. Yeah, you need that.
I'm pulling for that. Yeah.
I don't think either one is a guarantee to stay. I think there's a reasonable chance those guys may be on new teams next year. One of them, if not both.
Yeah. I do wonder if they could go for like a sort of stopgappy guy, like more of a, you know, Ngakoue or a Carl Lawson coming off an injury, maybe look into Chase Young. I mean, what about re-signing Calais Campbell if he wants to come back? I mean, I'm down.
Oh, if he wants to come back? Oh, man.
I'm down.
Bring him behind back. Absolutely. Yeah. Here's a name I want fans to keep on their radar, especially with the news coming out that they're going to be a base 3-4. Jonathan Gennard out of Houston.
Yep, that's a good one.
That's one name to keep in mind for a guy that can fit what they're wanting to do in Atlanta at edge. He's not a big name, but he has been productive for Houston the last couple of years. And that is a 3-4 defense. That's how they operate. He was their best pass rusher the last couple of years. So keep an eye out on a name like that. He may probably garner maybe what, in a 14-15s per.
But
keep an eye on it, because Allen and Burns are getting 20 plus.
Yeah. I think Burns is pushing 30. Burns might be pushing 30. Yeah.
I think his market
get crazy. It's gonna get
his
crazy.
Market value is like 23 or something, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It could get wild, but yeah, I mean that would be a lot, but it could get wild. But yeah, I like Gennard. I think that's a good one. They need a nose tackle if they're gonna do this 3-4 thing. And I think they've needed a nose tackle for a while. And my son DJ Reader, you'll remember this from our draft shows. I was a big DJ Reader fan. DJ Reader is a free agent. The Bengals don't typically pay guys, you know.
DJ Reader is a free agent. He's 29.
Yep.
And he's never – now, here's the thing. You're going to sign him. He can play the nose. However, he never had to truly play the nose in Cincinnati.
It's true.
So it's like you're signing a guy that's 29 to strictly be your nose tackle. Now, it depends on what they want to give him or how they look at him. But he is one that comes to mind, especially with the news coming out today about what they want to do defensively. Another guy, Greg Gaines, unrestricted free agent from Tampa. This is a guy that played 2 years under Raheem in 21 and 22 and had his two best seasons of his career under Raheem in L.A. I think in those 2 years, I think he had like 8 sacks or something like that, some in that neighborhood, which may not be a lot for some, but for a nose tackle, that's pretty goddamn good for two years.
That's very good. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Next to Aaron Donald, it's pretty good. So keep an eye on a guy like that.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's a good one as well. And those are all good ones. And I'm curious to see, you know, another one I would say it's to watch is A'shaun Robinson, who A'shaun Robinson has always had a soft spot in my heart because he was one of the guys I scouted for Scouting Academy when I did that. And I was like, oh, I think he's much better than the NFL thinks. And then he ended up like breaking out right after that. And I was like, oh, wow. So I am doing
this
right.
How old is A'shaun now?
I think he's 29. Yeah. Jeez. He'll be 29 this year. Yeah.
Well, he's looked 29 for 15 years now.
I know, like, right? He's just like been around. Yeah. But he played quite a bit in Los Angeles under Raheem, I think. So A'Shaun definitely one to look at to bolster that interior group.
Are there any Rams guys that you feel Falcons fans need to be mindful of going into free agency? Because there's a few names that come to mind. But are there any names that you feel they should be aware of that may be free agent targets?
Yeah, let's see. I think it was like, I know I was looking a little bit at like, who was it? DeMarcus Robinson at wide receiver. If they're looking for like a reliable veteran that knows the scheme, yep. I think he could yep. be someone that makes yep. sense for sure. You know, somebody like that. Other guys, I mean,
Akello Witherspoon is one in my opinion.
Yeah,
He just had a career year under Morris. His best season as a corner. He's an unrestricted free agent. I think he could cost in the neighborhood of maybe 11, 12 per, which is probably what you're going to give Okuda if you were to re-sign him. So you're at the very least, you're getting a guy that's familiar with the system already, that knows what to do. Jordan Fuller is another guy that comes to mind as well.
No, I know the chat was bringing up another safety in Taylor Rapp, who not currently a Ram, obviously, but a former Ram that's a free agent. So that's another good one. The other spot we should definitely talk about before we sign off is wide receiver, because that's, other than Drake London, the Falcons have nobody else other than futures guys under contract right now at wide receiver. Scotty Miller, Van Jefferson, Matt Collins, Cadarrelle Hodge, they're all unrestricted free agents. I certainly wouldn't be opposed to bringing back Cadarrelle Hodge. I think he's a good special teamer. Since they're keeping Marquise Williams, I think they're probably bringing back Hodge. And I have no problem with that. I think he's a good depth receiver. He's been solid every time. They do still have Josh Ali under contract. You know, I wonder if they'll be more interested in keeping Van Jefferson around, considering the scheme might be a better fit for him now.
Probably
But yeah, in terms of the other guys, I don't know. But I do think that's going to be one of their primary draft targets. Possibly two or more draft picks, towards wide receiver. And this is a great wide receiver class. You can get good players all the way into like the fifth, sixth round. Like, this is a great wide receiver class.
It's arguably the best group in the class. I would not be surprised, and fans shouldn't be surprised as well, if they double dip this offseason at receiver. They bring a guy in free agency and bring a guy in the draft. And as you mentioned, they very well could possibly take two receivers in the draft. We'll see how it shakes out. The one thing I will say, though, when it comes to looking at certain receivers, keep an eye on receivers that have plenty of experience in motion offenses, because this is going to be a motion heavy scheme going forward. Also, keep an eye on guys that are truly crisp as route runners. Okay. Don't get fixated on the guys that ran two routes in college and put up amazing numbers off that. Don't get the same thing in free agency. Like, I saw people toss out hypothetically a guy like Gabe Davis as a possibility, and I'm like,
it's not really Gabe, style. Yeah,
Gabe ran two routes in Buffalo and he still didn't have a 1,000-yard season under Josh Allen in 4 years, which kind of sort of, it rubbed me the wrong way. Like, there's no reason why you shouldn't have 1,000 yards in that offense. But focus on that. So guys that are crisp route runners, guys that have plenty of experience in motion. And one name that comes to mind, Jalen Polk out of Washington, is one guy that fits that Puka Nacua type role, that Puka Nacua type skill set, a guy that has plenty of experience both at slot, at Z, has plenty of motion ability as well. Very good as a route runner, not really the speediest of guys, but to be quite honest with you, speed is not necessarily something predicated in the Rams offensive scheme, because if you look at Cooper Kupp, is not known for his speed. Neither is Puka.
Right. They got I'm blanking out on his name. The third guy, the little guy. Tutu. They got him to add the speed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think they want separators. They don't necessarily care if you have blazing speed. They need you to be able to separate.
Yes.
And that, you know, and you can separate with your out running, you can separate with deep speed, you can separate with after the catch, you know, all that stuff. But the separation is what the Rams care about. They don't necessarily demand that you have elite deep speed or something like that. So that's definitely
just looking back at the history of what they had under Sean McVay. Again, you had a guy like Cooper Kupp, You had Puka, who hit the scene this year again. Was not coming out of BYU. Puka was not known for his speed. He was known for his polish as a route runner. He was known for his blocking ability. Remember, he had a guy like Robert Woods at one point in time who was putting up career numbers. Brandon Cooks as well, another guy that was putting up good numbers. So these are guys that are not necessarily known for 4.3 blazing speed. You blink, they're gone. These are guys that are craftsmen as a wide receiver. So just keep that in mind going forward.
Yeah. And this is a great class for that. We're going to see a number of, you know, a guy like Ricky Pearsall, I think, is someone who's definitely going to be on their radar a lot more now after his week at the Senior Bowl. You know, Roman Wilson had a great week. Jamari Thrash
Roman Wilson.
He's a second-round pick now, probably.
Yeah. No, man.
I think he's going to be a second-round pick. He's going to run like a 4.32 at the combine. And it's going
to. Love to see Roman in this offense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Roman's going to be a tough cover, dude. Mm-hmm. And I know some fans may kind of sort of, you know, blink a couple times when I say this, but that guy, Ladd McConkey, that's a name that I wouldn't necessarily brush under the rug.
No.
I think he can definitely be what they look for as a route runner. Now, whether we've seen the best of Ladd at this point and he's able to develop at the NFL level, that remains to be seen. But given what they look for, given what they like a receiver, I wouldn't be surprised if Ladd is in that conversation. Luke McCaffrey as well, of
yes,
Rice.
I liked him.
Mm-hmm. Made some plays at the Senior Bowl. You throw on his tape. Now, I'm not saying he's going to beat this guy, but goddamn, he looks like Cooper Kupp. I swear.
That's what I'm saying. He's like, people, he's like, yes. Like, I was like, okay, who the heck is this guy? Is he related to Christian McCaffrey? Okay, yes, he is related to Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
But like, he's like 6'2", over 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Like,
where
have they been hiding this man? Like,
I'm like, dude, he looks just like Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. And it's like, it's literally because he played quarterback his entire career. He's only played wide receiver for like 2 years. So he only knows a handful of routes. He runs them really well, the ones he does know.
And he was primarily out of the slot at Rice, and he did his damage in the field.
But he's 6'2", 206, so he doesn't have to play slot forever. So I took him in my mock I did last week. I took him in the fifth round as their second receiver pick.
Okay.
So I had them taking Roman. Yeah, you would have liked it. I had them taking Roman on day two and then Luke McCaffrey.
And Luke? The fifth round.
So there you go. Yeah. We get really spicy with those two. Yeah, I know you would like that one. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was Jared Verse at 8, Tyler Newbin in the second round.
Oh, let's
Roman
get the work.
The third. Yeah.
Oh, let's work.
Kyrie Jackson, fourth
let's
round
work.
Pick.
Let's work.
I was really cooking with that one. That one fell really well. But no, I think Roman, unfortunately, is probably going to be a second round pick after the combine. Perhaps. But yeah. But, you know. We'll see. And we might have to, you know, we'll see if we get that second round pick from Calvin Ridley, then, you know, we're going to have a lot of options in the draft, because then we might be able to trade for Fields and still get a second round wide receiver. And that would be huge. So, Eric, great show. Great talk today about all of these offseason priorities. Of course, there are more positions they still need. You know, we talked a little bit about the interior. They still need to do more there. You know, that obviously offensive line depth, particularly like developmental tackle, I think is important, but not a critical one. And then who's starting opposite AJ Terrell? That's a big question, but, and safety, but you know, you can't cover all that in one show, but I think we tackled the biggest ones, which are quarterback, edge, wide receiver, the big three. And I think we put some good options out there. So, guys, really appreciate everyone for hanging out with us tonight. Before we take off, of course, want to thank Eric Robinson for stopping by. He's at @_Eric_Robinson. Eric, anything else you'd like to plug before we sign off tonight?
As always, man, I'm plugging the Falcoholic, man. That's the one-stop shop for everything Atlanta Falcons. I know Kevin is grinding away with tapes and getting ready to put together a multitude of scout reports. So go ahead and check that out, man. Falcoholic.com. That's the place to be.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I missed a final donation from George saying that he's reminding everyone that he's been very wrong about a lot of his predictions. So don't take his word as fact. He said he whiffed big on Evan Neal. Well, you're not the only one. Don't worry about that.
A lot of people
whiffed on Evan Neal. Don't take it personally. But yeah, appreciate you, George. And guys, thank you all so much for joining us tonight. Thanks to BetOnline for sponsoring the show. Oh yeah, we got one more from Brandon coming in. He said, I've seen that Fields' asking price be a second and a fourth all the way up to our first round pick. What would be your max offer for Fields before you said too much? I would offer the second and a fourth, and I would probably try to get that fourth to be a future fourth, but if they had to have it this year, okay.
I don't think they're getting a first.
They're not getting a first. I don't think they're going to do it.
They may want a first, but they're not
going to. I'm sure they want a first. Yeah. No, like, if they think they can get a first for Fields, why would they trade him? If they think he's that good, like, then why would they trade him?
Yeah. And we say this every year. Teams' initial asking price is not always met. Just because a team says we want a first in return does not mean that's what they're going to get.
Yeah.
So they may want a first, but I guarantee you right now, if I had to put my money on it, they're not getting a first for Fields.
It's going to be a second and some other pick. And
maybe
the other pick is probably going to determine who gets him. I don't know. But the Falcons do have an advantage in that they have an early second. So that does help. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from there. But yeah, that's my guess in terms of what the ending price will be. But yeah, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Please like, subscribe if you haven't done so already. Leave us that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. Check out the channel memberships and the Patreon if you're interested in getting those exclusive perks. And of course, thank you all so much for joining us here on the Falcoholic Live. We'll have another episode coming out soon going over the cap situation. That'll be my next topic. So it'll either come out late this week or early next week. So keep an eye out for that one. And of course, keep your eyes on ESPN. Maybe you'll get a glimpse of Eric in the background on one of these shots. You know, he's in the booth, you know. Can you get down to that truck that they do, you know, for Stump the Truck? You know, you got to get down to the, like, the, where they have all the clips that they're doing for the draft show, you know.
I know guys that are in there, okay, but I'm in to get in there.
Yeah, but, go in there and see the command center. That seems very cool. But,
yeah. Look, man, I'm going to do whatever it takes to not be on camera, okay? That's not what they told me to do. So,
yep. If you're on camera, something has gone terribly wrong. Yeah.
But, right. You know, right. Yeah. Yeah.
But you've got the experience of the hosting, so you could jump in at a moment's notice. You know, you could jump in if needed. So, but guys, appreciate Eric for coming on. Appreciate you guys. I'm Kevin. I have Falcoholic Kevin. We will talk to you guys next time on the Falcoholic Live and Dirty Birds and Bruce podcast. Until then, guys, have a great night. Thank you so much.